Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my brother, and good afternoon to the listeners.
Yes, are you well over there in Eswatini?
By God's grace, we are still doing fine.
Yeah, fantastic. And when are you guys finishing there?
We are concluding the campaigns on the 13th of September.
Ah, okay. All right. No, it's still going on for a bit. Just going for a bit.
Yes, we still have another week.
Yeah. No, that's good, man. I'm glad that so far, so good, eh?
The Lord is blessing us.
Lovely.
The numbers are increasing every day.
Ah, fantastic. I'm glad to hear that. Now, Pastor, we're going to be concluding our discussions with you this week, talking about the stewardship of talents and resources. Now, the parable of the 10 talents found in Matthew 25, 14 to 30 describes a master who gives his talents, his servants rather, different amounts of wealth before leaving on a journey. Two servants invest their resources and multiply their master's wealth, while the third, out of fear, buries his portion. Upon returning, the master rewards the faithful servants and punishes the fearful one, taking his money and giving it to the servant who had the most, because to those who use their gifts, more will be given. Now, Pastor, what does this parable teach us about taking initiative and growing the resources that God has entrusted us?
I think the fundamental lesson from the parable is that the Lord expects, this is what he expects, that in whatever he has given us, we have a responsibility to develop it. We have a responsibility to grow it. When he has given us something, you can look at the disciples.
Yeah.
The disciples, when the disciple is first introduced in a Bible, you can get a number of examples of such. The Bible would only reveal one spiritual gift, using one spiritual gift. But as time progresses, you realize that now that disciple that had one spiritual gift, one talent, has now developed that talent into a number of other talents. That is what is expected of us, that we utilize all the opportunities chances that avail themselves to us in order to develop that which God has given us.
Yeah, and I like that we've got to make sure that we expand these talents. Now, Pastor, is it our responsibility really to grow our talents or resources, or is it God who actually grows them in us? As in, do we have the ability to actually multiply our resources outside of God? What's one's role and what's God's?
Actually, it takes two. It takes both. God is involved in the development. Actually, he's the one who initiates. He's the one who provides us opportunities to grow. He's the one who gives us the strength and the ability so that we develop, using the term you have used, to expand them. God initiates this. And when God has done that, then it becomes our responsibility to act on it. We embrace that which God has given us, and we act on it. We become intentional about growing in whatever God has given us. What I have learned about talents and spiritual gifts is that the more you use it, the better you become. The better you become in it, but the less you use it, you end up losing it.
My goodness,
Therefore, it is upon us. It is upon us not to neglect that which God has given us. We utilize it so that it grows, it expands, it actually attracts other talents.
My. Now, in what ways then can we recognize and leverage our influence that is in our families, workplaces, social circles, churches, etc., you know, as a gift from God to be stewarded for his glory?
You know, the Bible is clear when it comes to that. I call it the stewardship of relationships. The Bible is clear when it comes to that. That we need to make sure that we take good care of those who are next to us. Those whom we come across. Jesus even makes it worse. He says, even your enemies, you take good care of them. When they are hungry, you give them bread. When they are thirsty, you give them water. So you are kind, you take good care of those who are next to you. When Jesus was summarizing the Ten Commandments, when he dealt with the last six of the Ten Commandments,
right,
he summarized it like this. I'm going to paraphrase it. He said, "Love yourself, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Your family is your neighbor. Your wife is your closest neighbor. Your children are your closest neighbor. And that commandment requires of me to love them unconditionally. My neighbor next door, he's my neighbor. That commandment requires me to love my neighbor unconditionally. My colleague at work is my neighbor. Everyone I meet, even at church, my leaders, spiritual leaders, the elders, the pastors, the deacons, my brothers and sisters in church, they are my neighbors. And that commandment requires of me to love them unconditionally and be kind to them. Apostle Paul even goes further to say, when I speak to them, I sprinkle whatever I say to them with grace.
Yeah. Now, some people interpret dominion as a license to exploit natural resources, while others see it as a call to care for creation. What is the Christian understanding of environmental stewardship, and how do we put it into practice?
The Christian understanding of environmental stewardship is that we care. The Lord has placed, when he gave dominion upon us, he gave dominion so that we take good care. We take good care of the nature, the environment, animals around us, plants around us, everything. We take good care. In the book of Genesis, Moses records that God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, where there are animals, trees, and everything that has been created by God. To take care, the Bible is clear on that one, to take care of it. Not to use in order to benefit, but to take care, to have love for it, a selfless love for nature. That is how I would explain our understanding of environmental stewardship. We have a responsibility to take care of these animals. You know, it connects very well with the fact that we are created in the image of God.
Yeah.
And God reigns over the entire universe. And how does he do that? He does that by showing and sharing love with every being. Unconditional love. Because we are created in his own image, he gave us just a taste of what he is doing. And he expects that as we reign in our spheres, we do that with love. We love those animals and not abuse them.
Yeah, yeah.
We make sure. My brother, I'm looking forward to the day. You know, this initiative of the cleanup initiatives. Mm-hmm. In cities and in villages, everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally, we see young people doing it. I'm looking forward to the day when those initiatives will be spearheaded by stewardship ministry.
Mm.
In response to stewardship of the environment.
Yeah. Beautiful. Now, how can we then practically, Mfundisi, evaluate our stewardship and remain accountable to God and to our communities, as you mentioned?
You know, faithfulness in stewardship is seen in action. It is not just something we profess, something we claim. It is seen through our actions. I think from time to time, as individuals, as a collective church, we need to ask ourselves the difficult questions.
Mm.
What is my impact on the community?
Yeah, yeah.
How do I influence those who are around me? Maybe we ask the same question Jesus asked his disciples. When you read Mark chapter 8, yes, I think it's 8, verse 27 to 29.
Yeah, yeah.
He asked a question, who do people say I am? As faithful stewards, we should also ask that question consistently. Who do people say I am? Mm,
mm.
As a church, who do people say we are?
Yeah. Difficult question.
It's a very difficult question.
Mm.
Because stewardship, it's all about actions. It's all about behavior.
Mm. Now, let's conclude, Mfundisi. What would you say is the major difference between simply being a successful manager of resources vis-a-vis being a faithful steward in God's kingdom?
A manager of resources is only focusing on one part of stewardship. That is the manager of resources. And yet, and on the other side, A faithful steward looks at stewardship holistically. In other words, he prays that he be a good steward in all areas of life, in all aspects of life, not just in one. I would encourage that we be faithful stewards rather than focusing on one area and we run with that area, neglecting the other areas. I think that one, I would call it a selective stewardship. When you focus in one area and you neglect the other areas. The best we can do is that we be good stewards of the body. We be good stewards of time. We be good stewards of the environment, everything.
Hmm. Your final thoughts, Pastor. We've been talking to you the week long about this. What is it that you really want to impress upon the listener and leave with us as Umphako as we part ways?
You know, the stewardship, the standard for faithful stewards, it's very high. It's very high to an extent that it becomes impossible to attain. If we are going to try on our own to be faithful stewards, using our ability and strength, energy, so that we become faithful stewards. We are setting ourselves for a disappointment. What I would say to the listeners is that the easiest way of becoming a faithful steward is to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. We die and let Jesus live in us. When he lives in us, his character will be manifested to us. In that way, we are going to see a faithful steward. We don't do it by ourselves. Christ do it in us.
Yes. Beautiful stuff, Pastor Made. I must thank you so much for coming through. Blessings to you, and may God indeed fill your cup and cause you to succeed as a steward of his work. Thank you so much for coming through this week.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you very much for the opportunity. God bless you. May he bless the listeners as well.
Lovely. And go some for this.
Thank you.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.